Welcome back to Dating Games, the Modern Relationships Podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Temps, and our guest this week is a leading matchmaker and fellow winner in the Sex and Relationships category at the Irish Podcast Awards. Here to share just how you send over 7,000 people on dates, it's Mairead Lochman.
Hello, Bobby. Hello. Lovely to meet you again. Last time I met you, we both had a drink in our hand and we were both celebrating our awards at the Podcast Awards. So lovely to meet you again in the real life day.
I know, and yet over Zoom.
Yes. Oh, well, I'm still wearing a dress, so that's always good. Different one. I have loads of dresses. That's one thing about being a professional matchmaker. I really enjoy clothes as well because you're so used to telling people what to wear on date. Mm-hmm. You need to turn up to your consultations dressed appropriately as well, you know?
Well, that is something I wonder about. How much do you feel a pressure of how do I look? Because you're aware of that so in the minds of your clients. They're not obviously going on a date with you, and yet there is that element of what does someone that knows about dating look like?
So basically, like, I tell all of my clients to come dressed as they would going on a date. So I think that's a good place to start. I always enjoy fashion. I always enjoy dressing well. I'm actually a qualified beauty therapist, and I studied that when I was a financial advisor for doctors. So, like, I have had a lot of hats down through the years. So I do like to dress well. I love putting on my makeup. I love getting my hair done and all those lovely things. Always have my nails done and everything. So I suppose I enjoy presenting myself the very best that I can. And I suppose that's kind of part of what dating is. You know, people have an expectation when they turn up on a date. Most ladies would like to meet a guy that's going to wear a shirt, actually, and, you know, nice pair of jeans. Shoes are hugely important. Most men, if they're a straight man looking for a lady, they'd love them to wear, you know, nice jeans, a pair of heels, a sexy top and a blazer, or a nice dress. Most guys would like a lady that will turn up wearing makeup. Now, I'm going to generalize a lot, you know, while we're talking here today. So please don't anybody get offended. I am talking in the majority of people. There are exceptions to every rule. And this is the Dating Games podcast, you know. But the thing is, with dating, there are no rules, and everybody to themselves, and nobody, there is no parameters that people have to go within. There is a match out there for everybody, but there is ways you can definitely increase your chances and the probability of finding love.
I love that as a place to start, because so often we can get caught up in there must be some perfect formula. And a lot of the best advice I hear that really does hold up in the real world is that sort of straightforward stuff. It's like, what is your first impression visually? And that doesn't have to be oppressive of, oh, you've got to perform a stereotype. No. But I think there is an idea of, you know, who we're looking to be with in everybody's mind. And things like attractiveness generally play into that. So if you can kind of help yourself out, that's something.
It does. Then, you know, what I say to people is be yourself. So that's why I ask them to turn up as they would going on a date. And like, I get so many emails into the office here saying, well, what is that? What am I supposed to dress like? And we're like, be yourself. Like, why would you feel comfortable going on a date? The worst thing is, I think any ladies that will resonate with them if they're going to a wedding and they have to think of what they're going to wear as a wedding guest. They go out and buy this outfit, they go out and buy these shoes, probably that they'll never wear again because they're a wedding guest, you know, and they know what they're kind of what they're supposed to wear for that. And so therefore they're not comfortable for the day, and the shoes are probably going to irk them and everything. So that's why I say to people, be who you are, you know, just be the very best version of yourself. Also to bring in a little bit of confidence and to be able to feel comfortable. For ladies, I tend to say fun, feminine and flirty is what I would say if they're going out on a date. And for guys, I say smart, casual. And that's actually why on my podcast, I had leading men's tailor, Louis Copeland. Now, we know any, you know, decent Hollywood star that's come to Ireland that's looking for a tweed suit, first place they stop is with Louis Copeland. And so I did a podcast with Louis Copeland, and then Yvonne Malin, she is a stylist. Like, between them, they have 200,000 followers because they know what they're talking about. So I actually did a podcast on that, because when you're trying to make a first impression is made in the first 7 seconds that you meet someone, and it's nonverbal. So it's before you say hello. It's when the person is walking towards you. It's their hairstyle. Like, we do assume a lot, like their hairstyle, their posture, their body language. Do they walk confidently? Do they walk really slow? Are their shoulders slumped? All of those things, people do make a first impression straight away. So I always say to people, make a great first impression. If you know you're walking towards your date, smile. Your whole first 20 minutes of your date is going to be different if you greet somebody with a smile versus if you you know, are petrified nervous, like at least fake the smile, you know?
Yeah, no, it's true. And I'll say, you know, I remember when I met you, the confidence was the first thing I saw.
Oh, brilliant. Okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah. And
it's a natural, I suppose, disposition of myself. You know, I am confident, and maybe that's why I can be a matchmaker, because I'll tell you one thing, it's a tough job.
Yes, I can imagine people expect the world. And somewhere I like to start off when I'm talking to dating professionals, what is the dating landscape at the moment in your eyes? Where do you think we're at?
I think a lot of people lost time during the lockdowns, and I hate talking about the L words and the C words and everything like that, but I think a lot of people lost time. So for anybody, a lot of my clients would be in their 30s and would still like to have a family, or early 40s to mid 40s. So I think a lot of them lost time. I also think that people had a romanticized version of what their life was before lockdown. So they're like, when things return to normal, but I think a lot of people forgot that normal wasn't too fancy for them, you know, or wasn't too fun or happy. So I think that the dating world, people expected when they went back online or when they started dating again, that there was going to be thousands of people lined up, you know, ready to go. But it just kind of went back to, you know, swiping and talking and the talking stage. And actually not that much had changed, and definitely not that much had gotten better, especially if you're online dating. I also think as well that people are now dating from a place of loneliness. I think anybody that was single for the whole way during lockdown, and loneliness makes you act differently when you're dating. So things like, you know, I say to people, if you were single and you're genuinely interested in finding love, I tend to ask my clients on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, how interested are you in finding love? And it's generally up around the 8, 9, 10, up to 20 mark out of 10. But anyway, some of them would really like to meet somebody. And, you know, I say to them, are you happy? Like, as part of the questions that I ask them during the consultation is like, tell me a bit about yourself. And I ask them just straight out, are you happy? Most people will say, yeah, I'm happy. Like, you know, I am pretty happy. Or some people might say, I'm not sure. And then if I say to them, okay, if we take happiness as one thing and loneliness as another, how happy are you now? And then are you lonely? And so they do take into consideration and measure their happiness based on if they are lonely. So I very often say to that person as well, doing matchmaking, they should be going on at least one date a month. It's like if you lost your job in the morning, you put your head down, you'd go for it. You'd like, you know, like I know if I didn't have a job in the morning, and I suppose this is how matchmaking came about. I had given up my job. I'd moved down the country to move in with an ex of mine. Like, we were sure we were going to get married and having a family and all of those things. And about a week in, we had an argument, and I was told that I was now living in his house, not our home. And I thought to myself, we'll just see what happens here now. And honestly, within 2 months, I launched A Table for Six, and I had over 8,000 people on my waiting list within 3 months. So, you know, if we're looking at that from a business point of view or a job point of view, you know, if you really wanted to get something done, or if you were launching a business or you're starting a new job, you'd do your very best CV. You'd put it out to all of these places. You wouldn't just apply for one job every 2 weeks, because guess what? Your rent is going to be due, or your mortgage is going to be due, or you might want to buy a car. You may have had a holiday booked and all of those things. So you're going to be genuine and keep the pace going. And it's the same then as well with dating. Some people say to me, oh, like, I'm so tired of online dating. I'm so sick of dating. And I'm like, well, when was the last time you're on a date? And they're like 5 years ago. And it's like, you really weren't taking it that seriously if that's the pace, you know? So,
and yeah, I kind of like that, because one date a month doesn't seem that much.
It doesn't, but you do have to put in a bit of groundwork. And also for some people, so there's a few other things I say to them, like somebody that has been single for a long time, they put so much pressure on that one date. And therefore, if they go on that date, you'll know within 5 minutes of going on a date if there's chemistry or not. And we might talk about chemistry because it is fascinating. But, you know, they will know within probably 5 seconds to 5 minutes whether or not there's going to be chemistry. And so therefore, they can be so deflated that it can take them another 6 months to get dating again. So I'm like, you're going to go on at least one date a month. You're going to date multiple people. So you're going to have another date lined up if you're going on a date. Now, respectfully, okay, you're not going to waste people's time or energy or anything like that. Also as well, I would say, you know, pick yourself up faster. And then also, you know, you have to be realistic. Do I like this person, or do I want to see them again? Or and am I dating this person just because I'm lonely and I don't want to be alone again? So there's so many factors that have to come in. And I'd say that is the landscape of dating at the moment, is one, pick up the pace, turn up the volume, turn up your energy, have fun, be fun, and, you know, get on it. Stop thinking, oh my God, guess what he said on this date? And, oh my God, I had a dating disaster. No, date's the disaster. Go have fun. If it's not for you, move on to the next person.
Yes. I think that's how you have to be, right? When you're in that place of, okay, now I'm ready to be serious about it. And yes. I do kind of find that, you know, maybe it is partly the pandemic, maybe it's partly the digital dating landscape. A lot of the time, there can be this, you know, one foot in the game kind of thing. And I say that very much as somebody that's been there a lot, where, you know, I don't always feel like I have the energy emotionally or the time with my like busy jobs.
I don't understand that.
And then you sort of find yourself like, yeah, maybe you feel lonely of an evening, you're swiping away, which first of all, bad mentality to be swiping. You're not going to make good choices. And then you go on the date and it goes bad and you're like, okay, never mind, you know?
Yeah. Play with us. Just have fun, play with us, and like get into a good juju. Like, you know, turn on music. I have certain songs, and oh my God, if anybody heard the playlist, they're cheesy as hell. But like, you get into a zone of feeling in love, as opposed to, you know, listening to Adele's album when you're swiping and talking to someone and you're like, breakup songs, you know. So like, get into the buzz, feel the energy, feel the love, you know, think about all the things you want to do. If it's a case of you're like putting your life on hold until you meet this special person, like stop, you know, go for brunch, go for to different places for brunch, go for coffee dates with yourself, go for different places for coffee dates, meet new people. The more people you're meeting, the better chances of finding love. Like, I'll give an example. After lockdown, I was like, I have missed out on so much fun, just fun. So I'm going to have 6 months of fun. And like, basically what I did was I decided I was going to start something new each month. And I decided I was going to like meet up with all these friends that I hadn't met in years. And like, I did up just an A4 page and it was like, okay, I'm going to set up all these different things. I could have met all of my friends that I haven't met in ages on one night out. Instead, I kind of broke them down into different nights. If you're single, I say go to the bars that have good Guinness. You know, if you're a girl, go to the bars that have good Guinness, because guys are less likely to go to cocktail bars and, you know, gin bars and everything. If they're out with the lads, they're probably going to be somewhere that has good Guinness. So like somewhere like Kyo's or Brookvale's. I actually had my first year friendiversary with a new friend of mine that I met like this week last year. I decided one of the months that I was going to start playing golf. So I started doing golf lessons, and it was literally so that one, I would have something, I didn't want anything high impact. So I wanted something that I could unwind, because I work a lot of hours. I wanted something that I'd be outside in the fresh air, and I wanted something that was quite sociable. So I was like, okay, let's try golf. And I met this girl, Tara, and we actually are the best friends. I was in Portugal with her 2 weeks ago. You know, we've planned to go to London in a couple of weeks' time. We're going to Joanne McNally in London in a few weeks' time, along with other friends of mine as well. But, you know, the amount of things I've gotten invited to, or we've gotten invited to, on the back of this new friendship. The guys have like golf holiday booked for November. And like, you know, everybody has new friends as a result of this. I started to do things like yoga, just to do something nice and low impact. And I also actually joined, and in Ireland, I don't think a lot of people know that this exists, but I also joined my local first responders. So I'm literally on call today. I'll be on call for 6 days and six nights. And I actually attend to emergency calls before the ambulance for cardiac arrest, choking, stroke, and chest pains. And like, there's so many of those in Ireland. And like, if anybody is single, like, or if they have time in their hands, or has, you know, they can go to a call at 2 a.m. in the morning to do CPR on somebody, or to go to a chest pain call, I would say do it. You know, why not join and see how you get on?
Wow. See, I was going to ask you about this mentality I've heard you talk about on your podcast of never missing an opportunity. And now I've got it. You are really living that. Even as someone in a relationship, you've still kept that mentality.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also still have the Netflix days that we chill out and relax and do nice things as well. But like, have more fun. Like, you know, a lot of people, when I ask them what their hobbies and interests and pastimes are, I often say to them afterwards, like, where's your fun? Mm-hmm. And they're like, I don't know. Now, it's not that I'm poking holes in people's life. We're just helping them to turn up the volume, increase the chances of finding love, and, you know, putting yourself on the right path to finding love. It's great as well. If you're very lonely and you're coming to me to meet somebody, and especially if you have like an anxious attachment style or something like that, what's actually going to happen is you're probably going to be sitting at home waiting for their messages, and then your reaction is going to be different. So I would say, like, you know, by having fun and doing fun things, you're not going to be sitting around waiting for messages. You're going to reply when you get a chance because you're out living life.
Yeah.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
No, I think that's so important. Yeah, you can't put things on hold, because as much as we can understand logically that being in a relationship, that person isn't there to make us happy, we can still fall into that kind of trap of thinking that way, of like, they'll be the fun in my life. And that's a lot of pressure to put on somebody. It also doesn't really make sense from the other side, because if you're trying to get somebody to be invested in being a part of your life, make it a fun life.
So sometimes clients come to me, and look, everybody is welcome, okay? And because there is somebody for everybody, sometimes clients come to me and they are quieter or quite nervous, or they'll even say themselves, you know, I'm a little bit more reserved. And they'll say to me, I'd really like to meet someone that's fun and outgoing and funny, because I'm not myself. And I want to kindly say to them, but do you kind of not think the funny and fun person also wants to meet someone that's funny and fun, you know? And so, like, now there is someone for everybody. There's a lot of people that say, I prefer a quieter personality type, or I prefer someone that doesn't talk a huge amount, because maybe their ex was like a full out, was like me basically talking all the time, you know? But, like, you know, what I would say is there is somebody out there for everybody. But if you're looking for the complete opposite to yourself, maybe think about where you kind of sit in the middle, or where you fall in the middle. And overall, in life anyway, we should be making conscious decisions about who we are, what we want, where we're going, how we want to date, who we want to date. There's so many people wandering through life. Like, we all know people that are married, so you kind of think to yourself, how the hell did they even get that far, first of all? And second of all, like, they settled, they're definitely in the wrong relationship, whatever it is. Like, so make conscious decisions, regardless of what area of your life. If you're in a job you hate, like, give yourself a good 3-6 months to sort that out, and then think about dating. You know, fix your life before you meet the person. Like, there's huge freedom as well being single. I know I'm a matchmaker and I'm there to help as many people as possible to find love. But it's fabulous being single as well, you know, especially if you've been trapped. And I do say trapped in a relationship. You know, this relationship where you're like, oh God, how am I going to get out of this? Or this isn't my life. Or you kept on going back to your ex and now you're eventually free and everything. Like, there is huge freedom there. So, like, if you are single, use this time. It's a fabulous time in your life to have fun. You know, you don't have to ring home to say, I'm actually going to stay an extra 3 nights. And you know what? I might not even be home by Wednesday. You know, like, bar you have a job you have to go to. But, like, use that freedom to take into consideration and to develop the life you want, to make conscious decisions about who you want to be and where you fit in within your life and how you want it to look and everything before meeting people.
Yeah, love that. And that's something I remember you talking about on an episode, was single people not getting enough credit. It is a lot hard work. There is a lot of rejection. You describe, like, micro traumas people go through. And so, you know, I'm a big believer in that. Like, take a break, you know, and I guess that's what I was alluding to earlier. Like, you know, try not to fall into the trap of being like half in, half out. Take time for you, take time for dating. But if we're in between, then I think we end up with kind of in between people, right?
Absolutely, we do. And I would say, be gentle on yourself as well. As you said, and I do often say it, you know, we need to give single people the credit for the absolute trauma that dating is. Like, it is. Like, there's nothing worse than talking to someone for 10, 11 weeks, and then they just stop replying to your messages. And, like, literally 2 days ago, they might have been sending you hearts and kissy faces, and they may have said, do you want to go to your favorite restaurant next week? Because I think I'm falling for you. And next thing, they're fucking gone. Like, where are they? You know? And, like, it is, it's hard. That realization, I don't know. And I'm sure a lot of people listen to this that resonate with it. Like, looking at your phone and that feeling of your heart actually breaking in your chest of whatever that message is you're after getting. And you're like, oh my God, what is it? Like the loneliness, the emptiness, the what just happened feeling. And then I don't know about you, but anytime I ever got a message like that, or I didn't get a response or whatever it was, like literally having to go into a meeting at 2 o'clock, you know, this, you get this attention too. And then it's like, well, I may tap up my lipstick and go into this meeting, you know, and it is, it's tough. And your heart is actually breaking in your chest and coming out of it. And then like maybe sitting back into your car and having to process what the hell just happened an hour ago. So,
oh yeah, I'm not sure of those ridiculous stories. I had, the one I'm reminded of is I had an interview for this very podcast and I was interviewing the communications director for OkCupid. So, you know, an exciting interview that was important to get right. And I was meeting up with an ex of mine to see if we should be friends. And this might inform partly my rule of the game I give later. And yeah, he didn't turn up. He lost track of time because it was his first day back at work, by which he means it was a Tuesday and he doesn't work Mondays.
Yeah, I know. And also there, it's just like, and this is the biggest priority. You're meeting like the OkCupid person. It's just like that feeling where you're just like, am I that insignificant in your life? And look, I think everybody's gone through it. Can I just stay on that note? And this is actually something that I've learned as a matchmaker. Most of the time when something like that happens, because when I send people out on dates and I call them afterwards, you know, to see how they get on, okay, there's that. And then also I might have clients that are dating for 6 months, a year, 2 years, and then they break up. So I get to talk to both people. So I've done a lot of these interviews, post-breakup interviews, whatever it is, or post, I don't want to meet them again interviews. I would say that dating is such a selfish game, if we do call it that, okay? Like, nobody comes to me for matchmaking to say, I'd really like to meet someone because I'd like to make them so happy. The reason I'm coming to you is to meet someone to make their life so incredibly happy. They don't. People come to me to meet somebody for themselves. Dating is about generally you. Now, what happens sometimes when people go on dates, they remember that dating is about themselves and they probably make a little bit of a better decision because they're like, you know what, they're not treating me right. I'm just going to either say it to them or I'm going to get rid of them. Or what can sometimes happen, and it depends on your attachment style, is as soon as you meet this person and you realize you like them, all of a sudden it's all about them and how they feel and you're empathetic towards them. And maybe I'll text them because I don't want them to feel bad instead of not texting them or whatever it is, okay? What I will say is usually in a case like that, like your ex, or when people break up, it's generally not about the other person. I very rarely hear they were a psycho. They did this, they did that. It's normally something to do within themselves. It's generally actually nothing to do with you as the person that they were dating. It's a selfish decision they make. And look, we have to obviously think of ourselves first and everything. But I think it's important for people to know that when they're dating, to help getting over either a broken heart or that feeling. Ghosting as well. Ghosting is nothing to do with you. Ghosting is that they didn't have the balls, male or female balls, to ring you up and say, or text you even saying, look, I just don't think there's enough chemistry, or I just don't know if I'm in the right place at the moment to date you. That's what ghosting is. It's like, it's a lack, it's an inadequacy in someone's actual personality.
Yeah, no, for sure. And that's the vulnerability piece, right? Because actually ghosting is like the ultimate red flag. It's the, okay, thank God they're gone, because clearly they don't have the communication skills or they're so conflict avoidant that they're not ready to be in a relationship. And our brain goes to what was wrong with me. And so, yeah, you're right. So that,
or what did I do? Or what did I say? Or was I like not pretty enough or skinny enough? Or did I dress wrong or whatever it is? We actually draw on all the stuff of like, was I enough? But actually, the thing was, it was nothing to do with you. In, I would say, 90% of cases.
Yeah. Yeah, true. And I mean, to finish up on mentioning that ex, it is that they're unreliable. We ended up going for a coffee afterwards anyway. They were very apologetic. Yeah. But still, it is what it is.
I know.
You know?
But it hurt. It hurt.
And I had to sit down with myself before the interview and be like, we're not going to mention it. Because if I mention it to the OkCupid guy, it's just going to hijack the interview. It's going to throw me off. I'm going to want to talk about it more than is appropriate. So I agree with that. And so we are later in the episode, but that's because we're both good talkers than usual. If we rewind a little bit you have a dating story to share? Before, you know, I know you were matchmaking for a long time, but that it doesn't mean you guarantee perfect dates yourself.
No, like when I started, you know, as I said, I moved down to it. Like that's when I started. I moved down to an ex's house down the country and he was farming. So that's why I moved. I gave him my job. I gave him my house. I moved down there, you know, and within a week I realized that this was not working. And there was, you know, I was crazy about him and he was crazy about me. We were with each other over a year. And that's one thing. So I cover now in the masterclasses, conversations that should be had before any big decisions. I do say you should wait 1 year before you make any big decisions, which I did. Still, it doesn't always work out when it comes to actually living the real life of it. So as a matchmaker, it was very difficult dating. And I kind of had to have a little chat with myself, you know, should I do online dating? Like, you know, imagine a professional matchmaker online dating. And I did, because I actually decided I was going to experience it all, because how can I know about the dating landscape if I haven't actually done it myself? And that's why I would say, you know, go to somebody if you are thinking of matchmaking, whether it's in Ireland or wherever it is, go to somebody that actually has lived it. Like Tinder only just celebrated its 10th birthday. So if somebody has been married like 15 years, how the hell are they going to know what the dating landscape is like or what it is like? So yeah, I tried online dating. I tried writing letters in the back of the Farmer's Journal. If anybody's looking for countrymen, give it a go. It's actually extremely interesting. I'd highly recommend it to a lot of people, actually, if you're even dating in rural Ireland. Or gay, the amount of gay farmers that I have as well on my books. But, you know, I put the little ad in the back of the Farmer's Journal. I was up doing my hair one day and next thing I hear this bang downstairs. I was like, what the hell is that? And I like looked down the stairs and this big envelope, like a chunky envelope. And I went down. There must have been 30, 35 letters in it, all from people all over Ireland. Yeah, it was actually a lovely thing to do. And like, if anybody is talking to the Farmer's Journal and doing this, tell them I sent you to do it because I think it's great. But you know, people put up this little ad, the bio. So if you are doing the bio, I always say something about yourself, things you'd like to do and the type of person you'd like to attract and kind of what you're looking for. So I'm looking for long-term, whatever it is. And like, it's only 5 or 6 things. So I did that. And I also, around that time, read an article and it was like, chances of you finding love are 1 in 362 in any given day. So I was like, you know what? I'm always good to throw myself in as the guinea pig. So I actually set up a spreadsheet of 1 to 362. And I was like, I wonder what number I'll get to. I actually kind of lost count eventually. But, you know, I just said, right, here we go. And I swiped and I joined lots of different sites. And I didn't do speed dating because I was like currently hosting my own speed dating events. And I didn't do a table for six because I actually had my own table for six. That'd be a bit weird if I turned up, you know, yourself. And so I didn't do those things. I actually really wish I had. And, you know, I just got out there. But that's why I have the advice that I have. Get out there and have fun. Start having fun. I had some disaster dates during that time. I got stood up. I got ghosted. I met people that were 10 years older than they said they were. Like, that's why I got into doing what I do. Because even back in the day when I was dating, before I was a professional matchmaker, like the girls used to be like, Mariah, the stories you have. My phone was robbed on one date by the guy I was on a date with. Yeah, what? Another guy.
No. Yeah, I need to hear about that.
Yeah.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Like I just said, I'll just be back in a moment, went to the bathroom, came back and my phone wasn't on the table anymore. And I could hear text messages going off and everything like that. And I was like, where's my phone? And then I was missing it. Like, it was just weird. And it was back in the day when iPhones were just out. So there wasn't the Find Your Phone app. And I don't think there was even the PIN number on it at the time and everything.
Imagine your phone going off in his pocket.
I know, it was just all a little bit crazy. So it was. I had another guy that I was talking to for a couple of weeks and we decided we'd go on a date. And like when I say he rang me every evening for like, I was only talking to him about 2-3 in a week. He rang me every evening for a half an hour and we got on like a house on fire. So I was supposed to meet him for a date and went to meet him for a date. And like he rang me a half an hour beforehand and said, hey, I'm just leaving the office. Like I'll see you in a half an hour. And I was like, yeah, looking forward to it. So I knew we were meeting him. So came to the time, 10 minutes past, 15 minutes past, 20 minutes past. Like this is the only time I've actually ever been stood up. So he didn't show. Like, there was just no sign of him. And I was like, where, like, what the hell? So anyway, I tried ringing him, and the phone had been switched off, and I WhatsApped him, you know, not to a crazy level. I was like, hey, are you okay? Like, where are you? Because at this stage, I was like, maybe something has happened to him. You know, and you're just like, maybe the internet's down all over the world, because like, obviously there's no one this shitty in the world, you know? So that was it. And I just was like, fine. Now, like, he knew I had driven from Mullingar to Dublin to meet him, because I was up doing business and everything later on in the afternoon, but I wouldn't have gone at that time. And he'd said to me earlier that day, hey, bring something fun. Bring something kind of half casual to wear, because we might go and do the biking splash tour and everything. And I was like, oh my God, this is going to be a really fun, great date. And he disappeared off the face of the earth. So about 6 weeks later, I got an email from him. And the email was, hi, Mairead, I'm so sorry about what happened that day. I know you were probably cursing me, basically. But while I was on my way to you, scaffolding fell on Georgia Street and came down and hit my head. And I've been in a coma for the last 5 weeks, but nobody knew I was going on a date. Nobody knew I was going on a date with you. So they didn't know to contact you. And like, I'm okay now, but like, I'd love to basically pick up from where we were and like meet you now. And I was looking best. And that's one thing I say as well in my masterclass. People are rising from the dead. And actually, the title of it in my masterclass is Dickheads Arriving from the Dead. Because like, honestly, this person like coming back and using the most ridiculous, elaborate excuse, you know. What's more is he said he had serious head trauma. So he was after being in whatever hospital it was the opposite hospital to the one that does head trauma. So that's where I was like, straight away, wrong hospital. There's a hole in your story, you know? And when I said to him, look, I'm just not that interested again. Thanks a million. I hope you're well. Like, he went to town on the fact that, oh my God, I can't believe it. Like, I have been so sick and all this sort of thing. But they normally come back with the absolute most ridiculous excuse. Like, it's never like my dog at my homework. It's actually like, I got hit with scaffolding and I've been in a coma for 6 months. Like, what? So,
I really believe in that.
It like, should happen.
Yeah, no, it's sad that I could absolutely imagine that happening. But it's a good marker, because the people that, you know, aren't those dickheads, they will come back and be genuine and give a perfectly mundane excuse and be really apologetic, yeah, and say, you know, I understand if you don't want to see me again. You know, that's the one that it's up to you. But maybe if you're giving any of them a second chance, it's that one.
Can I say to you though, okay, so I've sent over 7,000 people on dates since 2016. Nobody has never showed up on a date, and nobody has ever had a crazy excuse like that. Like, a car having a tire, you know, or something like that has probably been the worst, and they give them a call to say they'd be half an hour or an hour late, okay? And these are people that come to me that are genuinely interested in finding love. They've paid for the service, and it's a premium rate because it's professional service. They also know that I will not let them out another date again if they don't take manners. And so this crap doesn't happen. So I think this shows you, like Judge Judy says, if it sounds too good to be true, it isn't true, you know? And like, that's what I would say. So if somebody does contact you with a crazy excuse like that, like, just laugh and don't reply to them. Because it can't possibly be.
And they're not replying, I definitely would double down on, because you're just getting drawn into it. You're just giving them your power. No. And actually just let them think you've got a new phone number and move on. You know, they will assume something like that. So all right. So on that note, we will start to wrap up with our rules of the game. So you started off saying there's no rules of dating, but if there was something, in addition to all the wonderful advice you'd give, One big thing that you'd recommend trying to live by in your dating and relationship life?
I would say have fun and be fun. Don't get too drawn into it. Realize that you want a definite yes and not a half yes when it comes to dating. You know, set up your own life beforehand. Take a time out to consciously decide who you are, who you want to be, those sorts of things. Like, when it comes to dating, enjoy it. The person should enhance your life. Don't collect red flags. Is it too many rules?
No, but, I love this.
don't be the person that collects all the red flags, okay? People show you who they are. Believe them. You know, even Jordan Peterson says, something is not off form. People have a pattern of things. You know the friend that's always late. You know the friend that gives loads of really good gifts. You know the friend that is really fun. People don't just show up and just be random. They are who they are. So when somebody shows you who they are, believe them. And when I, and mostly for women, I would say, make decisions faster. But turn up the volume on your dating. If you're serious about dating, if you're a scale of 8 to 10 out of 10 of really wanting to meet someone, go on at least one date a month. Come meet me for a consultation. We'll chat about it, especially if you're reaching any brick walls. Doesn't matter what age you are, where you are in the country, what your background is, what your sexuality is. It doesn't matter. Love is love. Everybody's welcome at Love HQ. If I can help you, I will. If not, we'll point you in the right direction and maybe get you to do some work on yourself before you come back. You know, if you want to meet someone, get on it. Don't let anything hold you back. And also, if you've broken up with somebody and you're finding it difficult, just go to do a little bit of therapy. It helps.
Yes. Oh, I agree with all of those. And I'm going to add one, which I think you'll agree with, which is exes are not friends. And I've changed my mind on this. Look, I used to really think that it was a sign of emotional maturity in me that I had a lot of friends that were exes. I was like, I can separate it, I can move on, I can reframe the relationship. And actually, no.
You know what they say?
They stress you out more than regular friends.
Yeah.
They're not necessarily people you would have chosen as friends. Mm-hmm. And I am a believer in sometimes people can clutter your vision. That if there's people in your life that may or may not still fancy you, they can get in the way.
Yeah. Well, the thing is with exes, they say if you truly love them, you can't be friends with them, first of all. But second of all, a lot of exes don't want to see you moving on. They do want to see you happy, but they don't want to see you moving on. And as well, if you've been single for a while, it's convenient as well for your actual friends to want you to stay single because they know they can ring you and there's not some guy or some girl like distracting you. But yeah, I would say that. There's a great book, actually. A lot of people would have it, Manifest by Roxy Nafusi. And I think for anybody starting out or has an ex lurking in the background or somebody that's just taking up a little bit of space in their heart, I would say read it. But what I would say is move away from it, you know, move away from somebody that's not going to serve you basically any further for the future life that you want. And I think that's important. And also, I'd say if anybody's single and looking for love, listen to my podcast. Am I allowed to put this in here?
No, of course. This is the time to do it. We're wrapping up.
Yeah, so listen to my podcast. It's called Would Like to Meet. I have all experts on my podcast. But also, I'm launching a new podcast next week. We're having a world exclusive because it's the first I've told anybody, Bobby. But we're launching a new podcast next week. It's called Tough Love with Stephanie and Marae. Stephanie is a clinical psychotherapist, and she's actually a relationship expert. You'll very often hear her in the media. She's on Pat Kenny every week. I actually originally met her on Ireland AM. And it's basically all the stuff that she talks about day to day in her practice, helping couples and helping single people, you know, on their journey for love and relationships. And me as a dating specialist, having sent 7,000 people on dates, coming together and discussing the really important issues when it comes to dating and love and relationships and breakups and infidelity and everything like that. So that'll be on all podcast platforms as of next week.
I love that. Wonderful. And yeah, maybe put me in touch with her. We can give the show another
plug. I will, absolutely. Yeah, she'd love that. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so we'll wrap up here. I love, side note, I love how you just will drop how many people you've matched. I was teasing you off air about, you know, we both love Indian matchmaking and how Seema always introduces herself as Seema from Mumbai. I think that's your one. I think that's your tagline. I'm Marae, 7,000 people sent on dates.
Yeah, I should say Marae, 7,000. I actually, my tagline on Instagram is Marae the matchmaker. I think that says it all. But actually, I'm always looking for people that are just, we'll say, just not the absolute average, you know, people that are a little bit quirkier, maybe, you know, anything at all that's just a little bit different. You know, there's someone out there for everybody and from all walks of life, basically. You know, I just think it's important that we represent all areas of our population.
For sure. All right. Well, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much. In the bit behind the paywall for our Apple Podcast subscribers, I think I want to ask you a bit more about what it was like dating as a matchmaker, how intimidated people were, and also what part sexuality plays in, you know, how you tailor your services. But for now, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening.
For the full experience, you can join our subscription on Apple Podcasts to access extended ad-free episodes. Our show is edited and produced by Pete Murta.
The music is Digital Damage by me, Emma Becco.
We're proud to be an independent production.
And leaving a quick review is another way to support the show.
Speak to you next Friday. Until then, good luck out there.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.